We're going to be in a series this season that's going to be focused upon gifts, on gifts. And today's lesson is about the greatest gift of all, the greatest Christmas gift of all. We're going to be talking about that quite a bit. I don't suppose that we'll ever have a Christmas without talking about gifts. I mean, after all, isn't that what Christmas is all about? Isn't Christmas all about gifts? I mean, isn't it? No, somebody said. Well, wait a minute. Before you get all Christianese on me, tell me it's all about Jesus, think about it. It is about Jesus, but isn't Jesus God's gift to the world? And you can't even begin to tell the Christmas story without mentioning that. And then also focusing on that concept, that idea that not only was he given to the world, but as soon as people recognized what a precious gift he was, they began bringing gifts to him. Didn't they? Remember the story of the Magi bringing the gifts to Jesus, those precious gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh? So, you know, come on, we can't think about Christmas without thinking about gifts. It's about gifts. Having said that, so often when we think about Christmas and the gifts of Christmas, we're not always thinking about what God gave to us or what we're giving to him. We think about so often what we're giving and receiving from one another, don't we? Matter of fact, in the opening video where the kids were answering those questions, I thought that was very cute. Joel did a wonderful job with that. He's not well this morning, neither he nor Kathy, so they couldn't be with us today, but did a great job with that, producing that, and getting the kids to participate. That in itself can be a job sometimes. But talking about gifts, and of course we saw there that the greatest gift of all is a plane. I mean, at least in one little boy's mind, right? It's plain. That was the answer to all four questions. A plane. So guess what? Grandma and Grandpa, as you're thinking about what to get him this year, you shouldn't have any difficulty. All he has on his list is a plane. That's it. A plane. Now, you might get different colored planes, different size planes, but just a plane. He'll be tickled with a plane. I am confident of that. He'll like that. The kid and all of us can relate, can we not? That we do get fixated and focus upon particular gifts that we believe will bring us joy and happiness. I thought it interesting and enlightening, though, in that video, that the number one answer to the greatest gift God had ever given to the world was life. That was interesting. Didn't expect that. Certainly, this is a gift of God that is often overlooked and not often enough celebrated. That God has given us life and breath and everything else. The Apostle Paul said to those scholars in Athens on Mars Hill, God has given us life. And I thought it was interesting, once again, as we sang songs today, without me having seen the video beforehand, without me thinking about what I would focus upon today, so many of them were about life. Even Raised to Life was a song that we sang, a newer song. Raised to Life. Life certainly is a great gift, and one that would be good for us to think about at Christmas time. Having said that, it's not always what I've thought about at Christmas time. My personal perspective has changed a lot over the years. I'm sure yours has too. And as I share some things with you today, I recognize that I'm really talking about some personal experience and things that I focused on at Christmas times past. But I hope that you will also be able to bring to mind some things that you also have focused on in years gone by. When I was a young boy, 5 to 8 years old, back in those 50s, long time ago, I thought the greatest gift ever would be found in a Christmas catalog. At least that's what I thought. We called the Montgomery Wards and Sears catalogs wish books. We did. This is before Toys R Us. This was before a lot of the just toy stores. There were stores we went to, department stores, and they had displays of toys and more toys at Christmas time. But you know what? There was no place you could find out what all the possibilities were for your little heart's desire than in a Christmas catalog. That was where we'd look. And you know, I thought about things like toy soldiers. As a little boy, I loved to play with toy soldiers. I just loved to do that. I outgrew that, believe it or not. But I really did like to do that. I think I outgrew it even before G.I. Joe came along. Because my toy soldiers weren't poseable. I remember my older brother, Stan, he wanted an electric train really bad, and he got one for Christmas, and he was very pleased with that. I remember him and I playing with Rock'em Sock'em robots. I hear they're making a comeback, yeah. Maybe even a Ryder BB gun, as long as you don't shoot your eye out. You know, you got to have one of those. Those would have been at the top of Christmas list for boys, at least. But little girls, no. Oh, something else, maybe. Different types of dolls. My daughters, I know, we got them every year up until recently, a Christmas Barbie doll. And they have that collection. You know, that was for them. I don't know that they did those, you know, back when my sisters were little. I don't remember that necessarily for them. But they did get dolls, all kinds of dolls. And the more animated and the more the dolls could do, you know, that were lifelike, they appreciated. They liked also tea sets. Oh boy, I know they really liked those kitchen play sets. Play-Doh, they enjoyed that. We liked to tear down whatever they built up, but we did that. Easy Bake Oven, you know, they liked that. And so those were really precious to them. Those were the kind of gifts that they fixated on. And maybe you can remember some child memories of gifts that you focused upon, that you looked for and longed for and had on your Christmas list. I've shared this with some people, but my older brother Stan, just 2 years older than me, we got up one Christmas Eve. And we did. And it was midnight. We lived in a two-story house at the time, and Mom and Dad's room was right across the hall from us, and my sister slept downstairs. And we got up on the pretense that we had to go to the bathroom, which was downstairs. Notice I said pretense. And we tried tiptoeing past, but that was going to be our story. So we went tiptoe past Mom and Dad's room. And Mom woke up a little drowsily. She said, "Where are you boys going?" "I'm going to use the bathroom." "Okay, you can go down, go to the bathroom, right back up. And under no circumstances do you go into the living room where all the gifts would be." We promised. We promised. But, you know, the temptation was so strong, you know, the attraction was there. And so we kind of peeked around the corner, you know, and there was light coming in from the window a little bit from the moon outside. And the tree wasn't lit, but I flipped on the light switch just real quick, on and off, you know. And then on and off. Then on. Yeah. And I was so overwhelmed and overjoyed to see that Santa had brought my heart's desire. He brought what I had asked for. And I crossed the threshold. Opened the boxes. They weren't wrapped at that time. And Stan and I played with them for about an hour. Then we packed them all back up as neatly as we could and tried to place them back where everything looked like they'd not been tampered with. And we crept back upstairs. Mom asked as we went by. She woke again. "You boys didn't go in the living room, did you?" "Oh, no." Santa must have been too busy delivering other gifts to notice that we were awake. Because we didn't get moved to the naughty list, as far as I know. Because we still got gifts after that. As I grew older, the greatest gift probably would have been, for me, some kind of sporty convertible. What you see now in the commercials, you see the car setting out in the driveway on Christmas morning and the commercials with a bow on it. You know, wow. In my mind's eye, yeah. I was looking for that. But by that time I had learned that you don't get everything you put on your Christmas list. You don't get everything you ask for. Somehow or another, early on, my mom and dad began to tell me that Santa had a budget. I wasn't sure how that worked out, you know, when I was younger. But as I got older, I began to understand. Began to comprehend that there was a budget there. So I was pretty tickled to get a 4-track tape player. Now, that's no typo, okay? I've made typos before, but that's not. Four-track tape players came before eight-track tape players. They actually had two tracks even before that, but four-track tape player. And I had this little, yeah, neat little player that, you know, was run on batteries or on electric, so I could carry it around in my 1960 Rambler and listen to tunes. It was cool. It was like four songs on each tape. That was like a cassette, kids. What was a cassette? But you don't know what a cassette is, you do. It was like a CD. No, that was vinyl. It was like nothing you've ever known or have ever seen. Huh? Yeah, kind of like a VCR, only for music, yeah. Kind of like that, yeah. Wow. Dating myself, who else will go out with me? But at any rate, but you know, I also asked for new clothes and got some of those, and I was kind of pleased with those kids, though. Believe it or not, the time will come when you'll actually want those clothes that Grandma gets you now. You know, those ones you just open up and let's put them aside. Where's the toys? You'll actually have clothes on your Christmas list. That time will come when you'll ask for those things that are new and in style. And I know I stopped asking a long time ago. You can tell, but I used to ask. It was a few days before my 20th Christmas that one of my best friends, former schoolmate and co-worker, then was killed in a car accident. He was also the older brother of the girl that I was dating at the time. We were actually engaged. His funeral was on Christmas Eve. That was my first experience having a Christmas with a cloud over it. It really took away all the luster and the joy of the holiday. I cannot remember a single Christmas gift I received that year. Not one. And I can't remember any gifts I gave either, because in reality I didn't give them, I only paid for them. I took money that I had saved and put aside and gave it to some family members and asked them to do the shopping for those people on my list that I had to buy for. And so though people told me on Christmas morning, thank you for the gift, it wasn't the joy of giving even in it like there had been in the past. For me, the greatest gift that year probably would have been able to somehow turn the clock back. Somehow stop the tragedy. Somehow change the circumstance. It couldn't be done. Shortly thereafter, the young lady and I parted company, and I slipped into what seemed to be a long depression. So Christmas wasn't Christmas that year. Let you know that the presents were there. There were gifts that I was given. There were toys. There were things. But it was a different time. Have you ever experienced Christmases like that? When there's a gloom over it, there's some sadness, there's some heartache over a loss. I realize now it was probably an attempt to climb out of that pit. At least that's how my younger sister diagnosed it, which moved me to purchase a new 1972 MG Midget. And I bought it for my Christmas present for next year. I took all of the money I had saved, just about, and paid cash for it. And so that was my gift to myself. It did brighten my days for a while. Matter of fact, for 10 days. Before it got broadsided and totaled. It's nothing short of a miracle that I wasn't killed in that crash. I didn't walk away. They carried me away. The greatest gift that next year was the fact that I was even alive to celebrate it. That I had life. It really helped me to begin to understand how precious life is. And so often we overlook that. The gift of life in ourselves and the life of those loved ones and those close to us. Help me to understand you need to cherish each Christmas, and not for the gifts that are under the tree, but for the gifts of love. and the gifts of relationships that God gives us. You can't buy happiness. You won't find lasting joy in material things, even brand new cars. So the next few Christmases, I concentrated on finding joy in making others happy, in helping others find joy. And I found that to be one of the greatest gifts God had given me, and I'd overlooked a lot, was just to give gifts to others, extravagant gifts, to bless people, to take the blessing that I had and to return it to others. I bought extravagant gifts for family and for friends. I gave money to strangers who were down their luck. And there was such a joy in that. There was such a blessing in that, that I just hadn't previously recognized or realized, or at least had not seen to be as beautiful as it is. I discovered the truth of Jesus' statement that we focused on a lot last year. It's more blessed to give than to receive. There's a joy, there's a happiness in it. Giving is one of the greatest Christmas gifts that there is. The opportunity to give to others. And not just stuff. Because sometimes, see, even that joy, that beauty can be missed out upon because we think we're not in a place where we can do things that are extravagant for people. We can't give them what's on their list. We can't give them everything they want. And so we might feel like, oh, well, we just can't have joy then in giving. Many times what I actually try to do is focus on giving something that's not on the list. And the more that you know somebody, the more you have a relationship with them, the more you can perceive what would bless them, what would bring them joy, what would lighten their heart, what would brighten their day. And many times it's not about giving them a present, it's about giving your presence. It's about being there with them. It's about spending time with them. It's not so much what's in the little box or the big box that you give them, it's what's in your heart that you pour out for them. That's the greatest gift of Christmas that you can give so often. That's overlooked. Bringing joy to others. Many miss that truth. They think the joy is in getting rather than in giving. But as I say, even that can lose its glimmer if you don't think you're in a position to do for others the way you wished you could. The first Christmas after Nine and I were married, we moved into a one-bedroom efficiency apartment on Christmas Eve. We had a situation. We found this place about the middle of December, and we were getting ready and making the move, and we moved in on Christmas Eve. We went shopping that evening, Christmas Eve evening, for a tree and a few decorations. As you can imagine, just about everything was closed. And in this little town we lived in, a lot of stuff was just cleared out. With very little time and a pretty small budget, we ended up with a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Now, not far from that, really. Nina was looking for a picture for me to use, but she couldn't find them in her album. But wasn't too far removed from that because we went to this little store, this discount store, it was about to close, and it only had one tree left, and it was a display tree. And it was a little tree, not really probably meant to be for what we were going to use it for. It was about 3 foot tall, and it even had a couple branches missing. But if you turned it around just right, you could hardly notice that. And we found that some of the decorations we had were a little too heavy for it. Really? But we decorated as best we could, and he put enough tinsel and garland. I know that's not popular today, but he put enough tinsel and garland on it, and you could hardly see between the branches. That took a lot, but we dressed it up pretty well. And then we took a little walk down the block to a telephone booth. I know, kids, again, you've never seen one of those. Superman used to change in him. I don't know what he does now. I have to watch the latest movies to find out, I guess. But he used to change it. But because, remember, Christmas Eve, we moved in, we didn't have a phone hooked up yet. That's before cell phones. And so we walked to the phone booth in the snow. was kind of pretty. It was kind of nice. And we made a call to Kentucky to talk to her parents who were visiting there, as they had done with her grandparents nearly every Christmas since she'd been born. And so we talked with them and wished them Merry Christmas. And Nina was very sad after that. She cried. This was her first Christmas to not be with the family. Now, I didn't quite understand the sadness. I was pretty insensitive to it, actually, because I felt like the greatest gift that year was being with her. I didn't realize I was pretty selfish. I'd insisted that we were going to start our own traditions rather than go down and carry on with the tradition of her family. I had my mind's eye about that, and it's worked out all right. We've been blessed in that, but I was very insensitive to her. It took a while for me to get through my head that I needed to be more concerned about her than myself at Christmas. Nearly 40 Christmases later, I still got a lot to learn about that. But one of the greatest Christmas gifts is learning, see, to place others before yourself. One of the greatest Christmas gifts is, even if you don't understand them, to hear them out, to listen, and try to be sensitive to their needs. There's a joy that comes in that that I really can't explain. It has to be experienced. It really has to be experienced. And together, over these years, we've celebrated the gift God gave, not just in a manger, but on the tree at Calvary's Hill. In my 63 years, I have received many Christmas gifts. Everything from toys to tools. One year I got a hunting rifle and a hunting jacket. Another, I got a target pistol, a holster, and ammo. Yeah, guys like to shoot. Mostly it's been clothes and books, computer software, accessories, books, videos, cologne, ties, hats, gloves, etc., etc., etc. As much as I appreciated every gift, I really do believe that I did. I learned to do that at least. Maybe as a child, maybe I didn't always. Like I say, some of those things Grandma gave me, oh, put that aside. But I did learn to appreciate every gift. But I did learn, too, that the gifts themselves are just stuff. It's just stuff. And stuff doesn't last. Think about all those gifts that you fixated over the years, even when you were a child, about you thought you'd had to have that gift, and that would fulfill your heart's desire, and that would make you happy, and that would bless you, and that would be, oh, ever, the world would be great. You just had that. How many of you still have those gifts, by the way? You still have them? Some of you still do? Put them aside? Yeah, I didn't play with them very hard, huh? Okay. Or maybe they were something that you put aside. It was a piece of jewelry or something. Some gifts will last longer if you take care of them. But so many of them, what happens to them? They break. They wear out. We outgrow them. They don't function as well as they did. They lose their luster. They get faded. They get discarded, nonetheless. But it's the gifts, not from the store, but from the heart. But even if the gift no longer remains, the memory from the heart of the one who gave it, that remains, doesn't it? And isn't that one of the greatest gifts? Knowing that things were given to you in love, given from people who love and care about you, given because they wanted to express their love. And it was the heart of the giver that made the gift so precious. And it's the heart of the giver and the memory of that giving that remains. If you really think about it, think about those years gone by, for some of us are older, and you think about those gifts, it wasn't the gifts. It was being with givers that mattered so much. And of course, the greatest gift still is the one that came from the heart of God. We mentioned John 3:16 earlier. I want you to pay close attention to this verse. Many of you could quote it, I'm sure. You've got it in your heart, in your mind, from maybe one translation or another. Maybe you memorized it years ago in the King James Version. Maybe you learned it later on from another translation. But the gist of it, you know, I think you know. It starts off, just says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." There's that gift, right? That great gift, the great gift of God's Son. Only begotten Son, some versions say, his only Son. That great and precious gift given to us. And at Christmas time, it is right for us to think about the great gift of God's Son. But the rest of the passage says this, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Have eternal life. Notice that. Maybe our kids in the video weren't so far off after all. Those who recognize Jesus as the gift, but those who recognize the great gift of life. For those who receive the gift of Jesus receive within that the gift of eternal life. We're not talking about just this life, this physical life. We're talking about this great gift of a life that's everlasting. A life that cannot be taken. A life that will never end. And if we don't get hold of that, if we don't understand that, if we don't grasp that and receive that, then one day we'll find ourselves, much as I did on that Christmas day when I lost my dear friend, wondering where the wonder went. We'll have Christmases when we won't be able to see the glory or the darkness. We'll be so overwhelmed with loss that we'll forget what we have, what's been given to us. We're only anticipating what we're going to get. We'll miss out on what we have. And what do we have? Have we already been given a gift? The greatest gift of all? And with that gift, the gift of life eternal? It's not that we won't be saddened or maybe grow weary some Christmases, but we'll recognize that holding on to good gifts, even great gifts, if we don't have the greatest gift, will only be temporary. The greatest gift can't be shattered or broken. Is it only for a season? Is it only for a period of time when we decide to celebrate it? It is a gift that is forever. It is eternal. For every season, for every time. What is that gift? It's the life that Jesus offers. The life that he offers. And when we recognize that, and when we get hold of that, and when we share that gift of Jesus with our family and friends, even if there are Christmases when we lose a loved one, we have that gloom over us, we'll have some joy even in that, we'll have a light shining even in the darkness that tells us this is not the end. They will live forever. Jesus said, John 11:25, and so often we focus on that at Easter time. I want you to think about it for now, for Christmas. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies." Eternal life. Believing in him, eternal life. And there we can find a light shining in the darkest night. Can't we? If we've accepted that, if we've embraced that. Because the reality is this. Christmas isn't about what we get, or even about what we give, as great as those gifts might be. Christmas is about what we have received. And we've received Jesus and the life that's in him. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for the wonderful and great gifts that you've bestowed upon us in our lives. For all the wonderful things we've experienced, for the gifts we've received, Your word tells us every good and perfect gift comes from you, the Father of lights. And we appreciate each thing that we've been able to enjoy and appreciate, even if it was only for a period. But God, thank you most for the greatest gift of all. For Jesus and the life that's found in Him, for the eternal life that we have in Him. Father, as we celebrate throughout this year, I just pray, God, that you would continue to remind us and warm our hearts about what we have received from you, what you've freely given in your Son. And I pray that no matter what we're going through, no matter what other experiences we have, whether they're dark days or bright days, that we can find the anchor of hope as we look to the light of the world, Jesus. Thank you. We praise you. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today who needs to be focused on that light, who hasn't yet received Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord, receive the gift that you gave to them. I pray, Father, they might be moved to do that today in Jesus' name. Amen.